Y'all have your Bibles with you today and would care to join me in looking at God's Word. We're going to be looking at Psalm 63. We're going to read all 11 verses of this Psalm. If you care to stand with me in honor of God as we read His Word, I would invite you to join me. If you can't do that and are unable, that's fine. God understands. I want to talk this morning about holy longing. Holy longing. Psalm 63, beginning in verse 1, says, O God, You are my God. Earnestly I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My body longs for You in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I've seen You in the sanctuary and beheld Your power and Your glory. Because Your love is better than life, my lips will glorify You. I will praise You as long as I live. And in Your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise You. On my bed I remember You. I think of You through the watches of the night. Because You are my help, I sing in the shadow of Your wings. My soul clings to You. Your right hand upholds me. They who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name will praise Him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. Would you pray with me today? Most gracious God, we come today to humble ourselves before You. Lord, You're truly great and awesome. Your fame and praise should be declared throughout all the earth. Lord, it should begin in our souls, in our hearts. We seek You today, Father. Speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. The dictionary defines the word desire as to wish or long for, crave or want. This psalm is a psalm of desire. It comes to us from the inspiration of God given to King David. He penned these words because of his experiences with God and what he was going through. And if your Bible is like my Bible, it's a beginning of the psalm, you might find a notation that goes like this. A psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah. Well, there are two times that David ended up in the desert of Judah that Scripture talks about. One of those times was when King Saul was trying to kill him. And David ended up in the desert of Judah because there were lots of hiding places. There were lots of places where he could run and hide and get away from King Saul. And he spent a lot of time in that region doing that very thing, hiding and fleeing from Saul. The second time the Scripture talks about him going into the desert of Judah was when his son Absalom tried to take the throne away from him. He had many of those closest to him that fled with him, and where they fled, they crossed the Jordan to go into the desert of Judah. Both times, David was forced to leave something that he cared about. He was forced to leave an area where he felt close to God. He was forced to leave the place where the sanctuary was, the place which housed the Ark of God. See, in David's day, the ark was still housed in the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. But David well understood the sense of the importance of the ark and the importance of that tabernacle and how it represented the presence of God among His people. It contained the mercy seat, the ark did, the holiest of holy places, the place that represented God being there. Well, David, who had a strong faith even in his youth, valued being able to go to the place where God was represented. He understood well what it meant to feel the presence of God, and he's known as a man after God's own heart because of his efforts to serve God and because he had a life that was close to God. His longing or desire, which is expressed in this psalm, is the ache of a soul separated from something that is loved very dearly. It's the expression of passion denied. As E.M. Bounds wrote, it said, "Desire is an inward longing for something of which we're not possessed, of which we stand in need, something which God has promised and which may be secured by an earnest supplication of His throne of grace." David's psalm is an expression of that desire. A longing to God and a pleading to God that he would be restored. David is expressing that sense of loss of fellowship that he desires. And it's a heart cry which can only be satisfied by being restored to that presence of God. He's expressing a holy longing. This longing for God which had led to his greatness and his success. David knew that his success with Goliath and then all the other battles he had fought were a direct result of God's being with him. So he seeks that kind of success again while he's in the desert. Well, many of us have a holy longing in our souls. We yearn to see the glory of God demonstrated through this church. We long to see the power of God flowing through our lives. We yearn to see righteousness flow throughout our nation. That's a holy longing. And the secret for satisfying this holy longing is given to us in David's experience in this passage. It's discovered in the actions of David. The question is, what actions lead to this kind of desire? What was it about David's life that could give him that holy longing? David mentions three actions which are the key to this holy longing and it being satisfied. And I would like us to look at those actions today. First action David mentions is to seek. In the very first verse, David paints a picture of the nature and intensity of his desire for God. He paints this picture by using three expressions. The first one he mentions is earnestly seeking God. First action, which will help us generate such a white-hot passion for God like that of David, is the action of seeking Him. It's interesting that we can go through life and we can have a walk with God, but it not be the walk of intensity that we desire. And sometimes you can start seeking Him and it seems like it just doesn't help. But the reality is, the longer we seek and the harder we seek, the more God draws closer to us. The writer of James says it this way, "Come near to God and He will come near to you." When we demonstrate a sincere and earnest desire to know God through searching His Word, through worship and prayer, it's a God-honoring action which God delights to fulfill. Sometimes He delays because that increases our desire. But He always fulfills that. The second expression which David uses is he says, "My soul thirsts for You." This imagery is given to us in the context of where David was at. In fact, the seeking was in the context of where David was at. He was in the desert of Judah. He's talking about his soul thirsting. As he expresses it, he was in a dry and weary land. I don't know if you all have thought about it, but water is not a need, it's not a want in our lives. It's a necessity. We cannot do without it. And in this picture, this imagery that David is using, it's never more clear to a person that water is a necessity than someone who is in a dry and arid place. Someone who is in a place where water is hard to come by. And the intensity of the heat magnifies the thirst and the desire for water. And the longer a person goes without water, the more severe becomes the drive to find water. The seeking becomes intense. Jesus said the most important thing that we can do is to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts and with all of our minds and with all of our souls. That's a picture of thirsting after God with a passion. It's the imagery of one who wants nothing else but to satisfy his need for God, like the person in a dry and weary land who wants nothing more than to satisfy his thirst for water. God responds to such a passion. He responds by making himself known, by revealing himself in interesting and different ways. The third expression that David uses here is, says, "My body longs for you." The seeking, the thirsting, and the longing all draw upon this picture of a dry and arid desert and the impact upon desire. Most of us probably haven't been in an arid desert where we got really, really thirsty, but we probably have been in places where we worked till we got dehydrated. And the longing of, the longer a person goes without water, the stronger the craving for water becomes. As dehydration begins to increase, it's as if the whole body is crying out for water. Thirst becomes a driving force. And so it is for the one who craves God. The longer they go without a connection with Him, the more powerful becomes their need to have Him. David is crying out in that need. Jesus told us in His Sermon on the Mount, He says, "Happy or blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." Why? Because they will be filled. They will get what they seek. That's why they're happy or blessed. And God is eager to supply that which will glorify Him. God will rush in to the one who is extreme in his seeking for Him. If you have a holy longing to see God, seek Him with all of your might. Crave Him as one who is thirsty, longs for water, and craves that water. But there's a second action which David mentions, the action of praise. As he remembers past experiences of being in God's presence, he's led to an observation about God. This perception leads him to mention three times that God deserves and will get his praise. It wasn't just that he recognized that God deserved praise. He said, "He's going to get my praise. I'm going to do this." His holy longing is inspired by the fact that God's love is better than life. Did you catch that phrase when we read the passage? God's love is better than life. What God has to offer us is better than anything this world can give. Do you realize that? It will satisfy the soul like the... David uses this analogy. It will satisfy the soul like the best of foods will please the body. The reality of what he's saying is, the least God has to give is far superior to the greatest that this world has to offer. The very least God has to give is greater than this world can come up with. David mentions here praise with our lips. He mentions praising with lifting up of the hands. And in his own experience, we find that David couldn't even contain his praise to those levels. You'll remember his experience of bringing the Ark of God up to Jerusalem. He was so excited about God being brought, the closeness of God being brought to the city that he chose to be his headquarters, that he danced before the Lord. He had to praise God, but he couldn't contain it with just his mouth and his hands. He had to use his whole body to express his praise. He knew the goodness of God's love, and the ark represented that love. And God's love is what brings us salvation. It's what sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins. God's love is what brought us God's mercy and forgiveness that we needed so desperately but didn't deserve. God's love provides us with eternal life. The person who will place their trust in God's love is guaranteed the best God has to offer for all of eternity. Not to mention a life that is fulfilling here on this earth. Nothing in this world can come close to providing us such hope. In fact, I would challenge you, and we don't have time to do this, but I would challenge you to name the greatest thing this earth has to offer. I don't care what you name. Anything this world has to offer, guess what? It will perish. It will go away. But nothing God has to offer will ever stop. God's love will be just beginning when we die. That's when it just begins. I mean, we experience it all through this life, but when we die, guess what? We go into the very presence and essence of God to receive His love with full force. That's why David could claim that he deserved our praise. And David could say, I will praise Him. Where was he? Was he in the presence of God? Yes, in a real sense. Not the way we understand it. David was in the desert. In other words, when he felt as far from God as he could feel, he says, I'm still going to praise Him. Why? Because God's love was so worthy and so good. Michael Horton, the editor of The Agony of Deceit, quotes a C.S. Lewis statement and says, C.S. Lewis gives us the following insight. Our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the seas. We are far too easily pleased. What's he saying? God offers us the riches of heaven. And so many times, all we want is a little more blessing here on earth. You miss out. And David understood that. David's desire for God was aflame with praise. He knew it was not the things of this world which would really satisfy, but it was the love of God. And His love is worthy of words of praise, songs of praise, hands lifted in praise. His love is worthy of celebration. The Apostle Paul echoed this idea when he wrote, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. What was he saying? All the things he had gained in this world that would have given him fame and fortune in this world were nothing compared to knowing Jesus Christ. You have a holy longing to see God. Praise Him with all of your might. Praise Him for the things He has promised as well as the things that He has provided. The third action David mentions is clinging. David claims, my soul clings to You. He then goes on to list two reasons for this action. The first reason is found in verse 7. He says, because You are my help, I will sing in the shadow of Your wings. I love that picture. The shadow of Your wing. It reminds me of a little kid that's clinging to mommy's or daddy's leg, you know? They hide behind them. They trust them for protection and strength and boldness and courage. That's the imagery I get here. Because You are my help, I will sing in the shadow of Your wing. David stayed close to God because God helped him. And David well understood the help that God had given him. In fact, if you go back to 1 Samuel 18:14, you will find that the story of David's life was summed up by these expressions. In more than one occasion, we find something along the line of this. In everything he did, he had great success. Sounded like a good banner for somebody to put on their wall. In everything I did, I had great success, right? Except David put the right phrase after that. Because the Lord was with him. See, David understood that he was able to be who he was because God helped him in every way. David knew that the safest place for him to be was as close to God as he could get. As close to God as he could possibly be. Because he was in the shadow of the Almighty. God replaced Saul as king of Israel because he had a bad habit of doing things his own way. He had a bad habit of doing things the way he wanted to instead of the way God intended. But he replaced Saul with David because David had a habit of depending upon God to help him do the right thing. Because David liked to stay close to God. Well, there's a second thing David mentions is God's upholding him with the right hand. God did not just help him, he sustained him. And David had had many experiences to understand and experience the way that God looked out after him, because all those years and months of running in the desert of Judah to get away from Saul, if you go back and look at that story, there's so many times that it looks like David should have been caught. In fact, one of the verses I like is the verse where it says David was going up one side of the hill and Saul and his army was going up the other side of the hill. They were that close. But Saul didn't catch David. Why? Because God sustained him. And then there was the experience where David and his men were hiding in a cave and Saul had to go into that cave to relieve himself. And David crawled up and cut off the robe. Cut off the corner of his robe. They were that close. But God sustained him. On many occasions, it was that way, and David understood well how God was sustaining him and protecting him. On two different occasions, David had the opportunity to even kill Saul. They got that close. But David wouldn't do it because Saul was God's anointed. David did the right thing. And God sustained him because of that. Absalom also attempted to dethrone David, but God sustained him. You read the stories of Absalom. Talks about how beautiful it was. Talks about how nice his hair was. Absalom was a proud young man. He flaunted his beauty and his beautiful hair. But guess what? God sustained David because of Absalom's hair. You'll remember when Absalom and his army went to conquer David's army, he was riding through the forest and his hair got caught in a tree. And the mule kept going. And it left Absalom suspended by his hair so David's army could catch him and kill him. God sustained David because he would stick to God. He would stay close to God. And if you notice in verses 9 and 10, he mentions what will happen to those who seek his life. They would be destroyed. The implication is they would be destroyed because God would be upholding David. It wasn't because David was extra righteous. It wasn't because David was extra special. It was because David's God was extra good. He sustained him. Didn't have anything to do with David's worthiness. It had everything to do with God's protective hand. Kind of like the prophet Hanani, who said to King Asa, who was also king of Judah later, said, "The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." What's he saying? God is looking for those who are fully committed to Him. And what's He going to do? He's going to sustain them. He's going to protect them. He's going to shadow them under His wing and watch out for them. And if you have a holy longing, if you long to see the power of God in your life, cling to God. Stay close to God. Stay as close as you can get. Because guess what? Satan can't get to you when you're under the shadow of God's wing. Satan can't defeat you when you're holding on to the Holy God. Seek to be in the shadow of His wing, for there you will find Him helping and upholding you. David wrote in another one of his Psalms, he said, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple." Holy desire, holy longing, wanting to be with God. If you're here today and are experiencing a time of spiritual dryness, you want to be close to Him again, you want to be renewed and refreshed, the way is through your desire. Set your desire upon God and He will renew you. He will restore you. He will satisfy you. If you're here today and your need is to experience the forgiveness of your sins, which comes through God's love, set your desire upon God. Set your desire upon what He has to offer, the forgiveness and salvation that He gives. We would urge you to do that today as we stand and sing our hymn of invitation. It'll be your opportunity to cling to God for the forgiveness He can provide you. Maybe you're here today and your need for closeness to God involves joining His church, serving in His sanctuary. We would invite you to do that as we stand and as we sing. Will you respond to Him today? Mm-hmm.